Thank you for reading the scripture this morning, Trevor. We appreciate that very much. And good morning to all of you. I'm glad you're here today. It's good to see you. First thing we need to get out of the way, don't judge the length of the sermon by the size of the water bottle. We just like to buy everything big at the binge house. This morning, the title of my lesson is Praising the Virtuous Woman. And the text that we're going to be using this morning is in Proverbs chapter 31. So if you want, go ahead and open your Bibles there, put your marker there. Proverbs chapter 31, a very popular text used quite often in describing the characteristics of a virtuous wife. But this text is just as applicable to women in general. The text begins with, who can find a virtuous wife? So therefore, this lady must be virtuous before the man takes her to be his wife. So this text is just as applicable to women in general. And that's going to be our application of it today. Most of you know me. Some of you know me very well. I was here when you were born. You know a lot about me. But there's people here that don't know very much about me. We have a lot of new members here. You may know my name, but you don't know anything about me. You don't know anything about my career, what I've done to earn a living and to provide for myself and my family. And we have visitors here today. You probably don't even know my name. Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Jeff Binge, and I install floor coverings for a living. That's been my career all of my life. And I want to begin by telling you just a little bit about my career. And as Michael Ray would say, stick with me here. I promise you I'm going someplace with this. This all began on the day I was born. No, not really, but yeah, sort of. This is what my father did for a living, so this is what I was born into. When my dad left to go to work during the day and come back home in the evening, this is what he was out doing. And sometimes the guys that worked with him, he would have them over, and I was probably about the size of Jude, and I can remember those guys playing with me and picking at me and the good times back then. So I grew up in the atmosphere of people that installed floor coverings. I've been around it all my life. And as a child, my father would take me to work with him, just 10 years old. And I can remember going to work with him, and you'd be surprised what you can learn just being around these things. You can learn tools, the use of those tools, the name of those tools, and things like that. And so my father would start actually using me to be what benefit he could make out of a 10-year-old. You know, Jeff, go to the truck and get the knee kicker. Jeff, take the knee kicker back to the truck. Jeff, pick up the scraps and go put them in the truck. Whatever he could get me to do. And, you know, I was all for it. You know, I thought, this is great. I'm helping Dad, you know. Well, by the time I was 13 years old, between my 8th grade year of school and beginning my freshman year of high school, I actually was going to work out there with the guys and was getting paid some money. I mean, I had some jingle in my pocket. I had more money than any kid in the neighborhood at that time because most of them wasn't working. And I worked every summer thereafter. I worked every summer between school. I worked during fall break, spring break, Christmas break. Maybe an occasional Saturday, if the need be. And as soon as I graduated high school, was at it full time. By the time I was 19 years old, before I was 20, I had purchased a truck, had purchased a lot of tools and equipment on my own, and I actually began working then on my own. And there were some issues then, but, you know, I had a lot of experience. But can you imagine a 19-year-old guy knocking on your door and saying, Good morning, ma'am. I'm here to install your kitchen floor today. There were a lot of ladies that called back to the shop. What are you doing? Sending this kid out here. And they would smooth it over. They would guarantee her that it would all be okay. Don't worry about it. Let him do the job. And if you're not happy with it, we guarantee we'll make you happy. And of course, things went well. We didn't have any issues or didn't have any problems. And so that's what I've been doing for a living. And here I am now, 62 years old and still doing it. So we're getting to the point of the matter here. If we put the math to this, how long have I been doing this work? Looks like about 45 years full-time, with a few years part-time prior to that. So here is the point. Can you imagine how many homes that I have been in during the span of my career? It's been thousands. You know, I can't tell you how many, but I know it's been thousands. It's been thousands. Can you imagine all of the things that I have seen and that I have heard in people's homes? Some good and some bad. Things I wished I'd never saw or had never heard. And sometimes you see things that just, that image is, it's just burned into your mind. You just can't get rid of it. It's just there forever. And so I'm going to lead us into our lesson this morning with describing to you something that I seen some 3 or 4 years ago working in this couple's house. This couple had contacted me to take care of installing their floor coverings in a new master suite that they had built onto their home. And they also wanted me to build a custom shower for them. And this was a large shower. It took a lot of time. My tile saw was set up in the garage and all my supplies and things that I work with. And so to kind of let you know my path that I took so many times each and every day through this house, I would come in a door, walk around the dining room table, go through the kitchen, go through what used to be the sliding glass doors, which now is the entrance into the master suite and into the area where I was working. And I would follow that path multiple times each and every day while I was there working. This was a young couple. They had a son who had just graduated high school and a girl that was a freshman in high school. And they went on about their daily routine. They just gave me a key so I could come in and work as I needed to work. These people were like many of us and like many other people. Whatever they carried in with them landed on the dining room table. So I would see the mail. I would see the newspaper. I would see groceries. I would see tools where he would be working in his home there, involved in the construction that was taking place, that he would leave laying on the dining room table. Sometimes I would see the daughter's homework, where she was sitting there doing her homework. Then one day when I walked by, I noticed two Bibles opened up. And beside those Bibles was study material. This couple was doing their Bible lesson. So that let me know that they were spiritually minded people. I have no idea where they went to church, but that's enough to let me know that they're spiritually minded people. Another day, I come in, and I see a book, a paperback book, sitting there on the dining room table. This was your typical paperback book, size and shape, but it had a unique cover to it. The cover was a satin black, a solid satin black cover, and it was a 2D cover. The title was in 2D. And the satin black cover was of such that it made you want to touch it because it looked like velvet. It made you want to touch it. And the title was in raised white letters, very bright white, so very vibrant on the cover of this book. And this is what the title said. It said, "Help. I'm a deacon." Apparently, this young man had just been appointed a deacon wherever it was. He went to church, and this was some literature that was given to him to read. Then I saw another book across the table on the other side, another paperback book. Same shape and size, same black satin cover, but the title of this book was a three-dimensional appearance. And in the first dimension, coming up out of the cover was an explosion. It was just out of the cover of this book was this explosion coming up like this. Bright white explosion, like fireworks. Then the title was within that explosion, so it appeared as if the title was just exploding out of the book. These letters were a vibrant, fiery, orange color. And this is what the title of this book said. It said, "Help! Exclamation point. I'm a deacon's wife." So, with that, if I have no one else's attention this morning, I think I have the attention of the deacon's wives. But this morning's lesson, it's not one for just wives. It's one for all of the ladies of this congregation. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're widowed, or whether you're here, but for whatever reason, your husband has chosen to not be with you today. This lesson is for you. And it's not a lesson of me talking about what you need to be. That's not what I'm going to do this morning. This morning, I'm going to talk about what you are. The things I'm going to say this morning are words of praise unto you. This morning, I'm going to speak praises to the ladies of this congregation. And so, guys, there's something there for us. And I'll sort of bring that into view at the conclusion of the lesson this morning. But now to sort of put our thought into how we need to think about the things I'm going to speak about this morning, turn to Philippians very quickly in chapter 4. Let's read verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You can now turn back to the text we'll be using this morning, Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And let's read that text. We're going to begin in verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. This morning, I want to point out 12 qualities of a godly woman that are worthy of praise. So, ladies, sit back and enjoy. This one's for you. Number one, from verse 11. Her husband's heart trusts her. When was the last time that you praised your wife, your mother, or even a sister in Christ just simply because of their trustworthiness? Godly women, they're dependable. You don't have to worry about things being done. We don't have to ask our wives to do things. They just do it. They just simply get it done. Our godly women are trustworthy and dependable. And we should praise them for that. Number two, from verse 12. She does him good all the days of her life. So if a lady is doing a man good, what does that mean? She's building him up. She's making him better. Guys, it's our ladies that make us who we are. They're what makes us complete. It's quite possible. Well, I know it is, for sure. This is a fact. Many times, we're not worthy of the good things they're speaking about us. We're not worthy of it. But for some reason, I know my wife does, women just have a unique way of just simply saying the right thing at the right time. That's just a characteristic that God has instilled in them. Sometimes, nothing even needs to be said. They can just simply smile. That's all it takes. Words don't have to be spoken. Ladies, you make us better. We thank you for that. Number three, from verse 13. She works with her hands. And we see this concept in other places within this text. But the point is, she works. Verse 27 says she does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, whether it be in the home or whether it be outside of the home, she works. I can't begin to even mention all of the things that the ladies of this congregation do. I couldn't keep up with it. I just simply couldn't write it all down. All the things they do each and every day, all day long in the home, taking care of the children, and sometimes even juggling both the work in the home and working outside of the home. When you think about it, guys, in my mind, that's amazing. That's just amazing. Number four, from verse 15. She rises while it is still night. She cares for her family. A mother loves her children. If a child is sick and cries in the night, if it has any need whatsoever, she'll be up and she'll be there for it. I can remember many times when Mandy was just a toddler, being awakened at 4 a.m. in the morning, hearing noises in the house. Well, what's going on? I get up. There's Renee sitting in the living room floor with Mandy, toys surrounding them, just occupying her, keeping her happy, because at 9 months old yet, she still hadn't determined what's day and night. They rise before sunrise. They prepare the children for school, fix them something to eat, make the children ready for the day. And then many times after doing that, all of the aforementioned things, they will then prepare themselves for their day. There is nothing any more praiseworthy than a woman that will go to such degree to care for her family. Number 5, from verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. This isn't relative to her ability to work. We just got done talking about those things. But rather, this is talking about her having intelligence and wisdom. Men, we shouldn't think of our wives or of women in general being created to be workers for us. That's not why God created them. He created them to be a part of us and for us to function as one. Yes, it's true. The man is the head of the home. That's true. That's taught in the scriptures. But within that, we need to put a value on the characteristics that God has instilled in these ladies. God created her with intelligence and with wisdom. She was created to help man, to aid him, and to assist him. And we need to put value on those characteristics. Number 6, from verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. How blessed it is and how blessed we are that the ladies of this congregation are so loving and so compassionate to the needs that others may have. So many things they do in helping others that may have a need, whatever it might be. Once again, I can't begin to make mention of all the things that ladies do in regard to this work. A compassionate woman is one that is worthy of praise. Number 7, from verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow, for her household is clothed. For some reason, ladies just seem to have the ability to think ahead. I know my wife does. For instance, if she didn't remind me every Thursday morning to put out the trash, we'd have the trashiest house in the neighborhood. They just seem to have that ability to be able to think of the things, these simple little things that's so important in the home that needs to be done. A virtuous woman plans ahead for her family. She makes preparation for herself, for her family. She's thinking about the future. Number 8, from verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. Men, the fact is, our ladies like to look good. They like to be attractive. Not in a lustful way, but in a way that exhibits respect. Not only for her, but it also speaks for her husband and for the family as well. This is a very praiseworthy characteristic, and we should value that. After all, think of the alternative. Number 9, from verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates. Again, it's the ladies that makes us look good, guys. By making us look good, it gives us a good reputation in the community as well as here in the church. Again, think of the alternative. What if she made us look bad? Praise should go to the wife that cares about her husband's reputation. Number 10, from verse 25. She shall rejoice in the time to come. What a blessing it is for a lady to be optimistic. I know I tend to be awful pessimistic at times, and Renee works at being optimistic to override that. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. What a blessing it is for a lady to be optimistic. She doesn't dwell upon problems of the past, but rather she looks toward the good in the days to come. An optimistic lady makes life so much better. After all, nobody likes a Debbie Downer. I hope there's no one here named Debbie. If you are, that's nothing personal. You know, it's just a saying. Number 11, from verse 26. On her tongue is the law of kindness. How good is it for a woman to be of pleasant talk? Not a person who's whining, griping, complaining, but one who speaks of and speaks with kindness. A lady that's a teacher, an example for her children, for the home, for her friends that she's around, and for her sisters in Christ. She's not a gossiper, but she has pleasant things to say. What a wonderful characteristic this is. Number 12, from verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Scripture teaches it. A godly woman should be praised. We should love her and praise her for her dedication to God. For all the godly characteristics that I've mentioned this morning, as well as the many more that she must possess, we should praise her for that. So now here comes the thought for you guys. Men, we should actually verbalize our thoughts and our feelings for the ladies of this congregation. And I know that's something that many of us probably struggle with. I know I do. I struggle with just simply saying to my wife, thank you for being the godly woman that you are. So guys, I'm going to make that a little bit easier for you this morning. All you got to do is just reach over and take her by the hand right now. You don't have to say a word. She'll know what that means. They need to hear from us. That is so encouraging for them. It makes us better men for doing so. So if I may at this time speak to the ladies of this congregation, thank you for being the godly women that you are. This church loves you for it. The thought is now yours for the day. I know that the things that I've spoken of this morning are not things that would be encouraging for one to obey the gospel. But that opportunity is for you here today. It's very simple. All you have to do, just come forward. Take a seat here on the front pew. And your needs will be seen to. You might be someone who is a Christian, and maybe you have a problem in your life. Maybe you've sinned. There's something on your mind. It's weighing heavy on your shoulders. You too just simply have to come forward, take a seat here, express your needs, and we'll see to them right away. Or you may just be someone who's you're overwhelmed with problems in your life, and you would just like to have the prayers of your brothers and sisters. You can take advantage of that. Just come forward and express your needs, and we'll all pray for you right here and right now. Won't you take advantage of those opportunities now as we sing?